Welcome to I Got You Podcast. This podcast aims to enlighten and empower you while discussing and exploring taboo and provocative topics.
Conversation with, I don't have to explain everything I'm talking about to, that can actually, you know, bring some ideas to the table. I need something beyond the physical attraction. So intelligence is definitely something. And drive, she has to have some motivation, some kind of goals or something. Like, she has to have some kind of plan about her life.
Honestly, Wayne took it. That sums it up for me as well. I mean, independence is important. Me feeling like I can do what I want to do, and you can do what you want to do, and we're not crazy arm locked together all the time. You know, in some senses, of course. Intelligence is also key. I mean, I just like to get to it, have really deep conversations sometimes, and yeah, the busy stuff isn't cute. Being honest. What was the last thing you said, Wayne? What was that again?
She has some kind of drive, like some kind of goal, some kind of ambition.
Oh, yeah, motivation is key too, definitely.
Okay.
But Chica, do you think that you, at your age, do you mind me asking how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 24.
So do you think that at your age and the type of girls that you're around, the women that you're around, do you feel like they are as independent or driven at that age? Do you come across a lot of women like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends. It really depends on what circles you're running with. I mean, I have a whole wide variety of friends, so I'd say it's really a mixed bag. And I mean, all I know is that for me personally, I'd imagine for guys, even my age, only at 24, I think that if you're going to date someone, they kind of should check off those boxes. And, you know, if they don't check off those boxes, then whatever else you're doing.
Right. Corey, what do you think?
I have to agree with the doctor. I mean, you're talking about qualities when you're dealing with a woman?
Yeah. What qualities do you find attractive?
A woman that's intelligent. I mean, for me, to have a conversation with a woman that can sit down on an intellectual level and speak with you is a turn on for me. I love the fact that you can have an intelligent conversation with a woman. That in itself is just, it's something to, you know, it speaks a lot about an individual. So the independence thing, I mean, that's something we can build on together. In my past experiences, usually women are independent, they're not dependent. So their mindset is, I can do everything for myself, so what's the point of having it? Okay. That's just me in a nutshell.
So that independence is not attractive for you in that case?
To an extent. I mean, you have women that are extremely independent.
Right.
And what I mean by extremely independent, it's, you know, if you're not bringing something, if you're not better in their situation, they really don't want to deal with you. I don't make... You know, I don't make $100,000 a year. I don't drive a nice car. It's a decent truck. You know, but that being said, I mean, like I said, you pull up and you're talking to a woman, and a lot of the independent women who have the master's degree and the PhDs or even educated and stuff like that, they look at you and it's like, how are you better in my situation? So, you know, those are the extremely independent women. They won't even before you even get a chance to open up your mouth, they've already, you know, they can tell by basically by clothes you're wearing, you only make, you know, $30,000 a year and you got a 600 credit score. So, those are extremely independent, you know, and if you can't come up and have an articulate conversation with them, they shut you down immediately. So,
Okay.
I think independence is also a mindset. You know, you can have an independent woman who is, you know, well off. They're a lawyer, doctor, investment banker, etc. But you can also have the independent woman that is making, I don't know, less than that. You know, middle of the road income. I think it's really. Independence is really a mindset in the sense that, I mean, a woman who can support themselves, number one, but also, you know, they go with their own flow. They have their own plans. They have their own like friend group and whatnot. I also attribute that to kind of independence.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, how do men feel about their significant others having a best friend of the opposite?
Go ahead, Cord.
You know, it's funny because I've had this conversation numerous times, and I don't believe I'm gonna get killed for this one. I don't believe that women can have friends of the opposite sex if they're in a relationship. A lot of times, it's more to it. I believe more to it. Unless the man is, you know, y'all back for the same team. I'm going to be politically correct. That's just my take on it. Like, I don't. Or in most cases, where you can have a woman who, you know, they have common interests. They can sit down and they can have a conversation and they have common interests, and there's no mutual attraction there. It's strictly. A platonic relationship, and you respect each other from that level, from an educational level. But as far as if a woman's in a relationship and she got a best friend as a man, I don't.
But so Corey, so we're friends. He said, "Go ahead."
Nah,
we're friends.
I don't view you as a friend, and I view you as a sister.
Okay, well that's there. Got you. Understood. Got it. Okay.
Right. But see, I'm on the opposite end of that, because to me, and I guess because I have a lot of female friends. And I have, now, I do have a few female friends that I know I'm friend-zoned in, but if I wasn't friend-zoned in, it would go down. But I do have a lot of female friends, too, where I have absolutely no interest in. And I'm just like, I don't know how any dude is interested in you, but if you found somebody, more power to you.
Right. And that's the other side
of the relationship. I'm looking at it like this. And I know the value that I put on friendship, and I know how close and how important my friends are to me. So I don't want to come in, and especially coming into a relationship or a new relationship, and those friendships are already established. I'm not going to be the one to tell you have to turn these friendships away because I'm here now. Because me and you may not last, and you don't want to turn your back on those friendships that you've had forever. Also, I'm just big on in a relationship. I'm going to trust you until you give me a reason not to trust you. So even if I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt until I see that I can't trust you. So I don't have a problem with you. You tell me it's your friend, and you haven't given me a reason not to trust your word, and that's your friend. Now, if I found out otherwise, then, you know, somebody's neck's going to have to get broke. But until you give me a reason not to trust you, listen, I trust you. You can give me no reason to. So you can, that's your friend. If that's your friend, that's your friend. Hey.
So let me ask you a question. If I could take over the forum just for a second. You have a young lady that you're dating, and every day she walks into the house, she's on the phone with her so-called friend.
Yeah.
Right? Every day. This conversation is going on every day, and now it's to the point where, oh, we're getting ready to go out. Well, who is we? Well, me and my friend. You have a problem with that?
Nah.
No?
She's the house.
Because... My thing is this: if I'm in a relationship with you, I'm your boyfriend. I'm your significant other. I am not your chaperone. If I have to chase down behind you and monitor everything you do, then I don't need to be with you. If I don't have enough trust in you to trust that you're going out with your friend and all you're doing is going out with your friend, if I don't have that trust, then I don't need to be with you. And Sabra, like I work for Maury. So that's the one conversation I have with most people that come there for the lie detector test. I'm like, why are you here? If you are to the point where you need a lie detector test to prove that you need to be with this person, then you don't need to be with that person. That relationship is not there. I can't take your word for it, then I don't need to be with you. That's how I just feel. If I get to a point where I'm questioning what you're doing and I'm questioning where you're at, I'm just not going to be in that situation because I don't need to be there. Once you don't have trust, you don't have anything. Okay. If I got to monitor you to be with me, now I'm good.
Tachika, how you feel?
First off, that was an awesome exchange. That was really cool to listen to. I mean, look, I think I'm similar to Wayne. I also, you know, have a bunch of female friends. Just born and raised around women, whatever. So as a result, I think I'm a bit more, I guess, empathetic, if you will, to someone that wants to have that. If my significant other wants to have male friends, but I mean, all in all, it kind of boils down to both trust and boundaries. You know, if everyone has different like sensitivity levels to that, right? So different thresholds to that. For some dudes, if you hugged your friend who's a guy, they'll be like, whoa, what's happening here? Some dudes, you can hug, hang out, you can even go get dinner with your best male friend because that's your friend, why not? And I lean more towards that end. Now, I'm sure I can name scenarios or I can think of scenarios where I wouldn't be comfortable or I'd start having questions, but even in those situations, you know, I think communication is key. You have to set those boundaries and say, look, I'm not comfortable with you, I don't know, hitting the club with your best friend by yourself with him. Stuff like that.
And that's my point where I was actually trying to figure out where y'all mindset was at. When you talk about a friend, right, certain things are intimate that you shouldn't be doing with nobody unless it's your mate. Dinner is something that I consider as being intimate. You shouldn't be going to dinner. Now, if y'all going to lunch, that's totally fine. Please, y'all need to go to lunch. But dinner, I don't feel like that's something that you should be going to dinner with. That's a quality dinner that you should be spending with your mate.
So
what's
go ahead.
Sitting down, you're exchanging ideas, you're having a meal. What's the difference?
Yep. You can do that in the daytime. I honestly feel, listen, so the nighttime is the time that you should be spending with your mate. That's okay. The intimate time of the day, period. And if you're leaving the house at 7, 8 o'clock at night going to dinner with your friend, then there's a problem with that.
Okay.
Most business meetings are conducted at what time of the day? Oh,
this mess is business.
I was just checking. I mean, I may be wrong, but
right.
When you're conducting business, if you're going on a dinner, I mean, if you're going to lunch with your friend and it's strictly business, then right. Why are y'all going at 7, 8 o'clock at night when you should be at home with me watching Netflix?
Right. Okay. All right. The other question is,
geez.
There's an assumption that there is a shift in black men preferring to date outside of their race. Why do you think that is so?
Ooh, I want to hear this answer.
Wow. So, Corey, you want to go first? Or?
Yeah, I'll take the helm on it. I think like this question was partly for me. So, I honestly feel the shift has to do a lot with the fact that it goes down to and I can't speak for all African American men, I can't. But what most African American men are looking for, like I said, the African American male, the time frame that I grew up, it was about the father. It was, you know, everything was about the father. Hey, let's make sure he had, you know, the big piece of chicken at dinner. Let's make sure he had this, he had that. And so, growing up in a household with a two-family household where you saw the mother more or less catering to the man. Mm-hmm. That's what the expectation is. As you get older, is you're going to have a woman that caters to you. And nowadays, again, with the African, and I can't speak for all African-American women. I can't. But vast majority of African-American women, the mindset is, well, I work just as hard as you do. Why can't you do your part? Or why can't you do this? Or why can't you do that? Well, and so a man dealing with what we deal with on a normal basis, the last thing we want to do is come home and have to deal with, you know, nonsense at home. It's like, hey, I just want to come home. I just want to lay my head down. I want to relax. Can I get a hot meal? Well, I've been working just like you. How about you give me a hot meal? And you don't find that oftentimes too many with dating outside your race. It's, I think the women are more adapting to trying to cater to that man and put him on a pedestal outside their race. I mean, that's why a lot of my, being in the military, you see so many African-American men with Japanese women, right? Because of the way that the Japanese woman is raised, mm-hmm. it's when the man comes home, you know, make sure this is taken care of, make sure that's taken care of. Yeah. And, you know, even down to dating white women, it's the exact same. I mean, you know, I can't speak for all white women.
Okay.
But, you know, they have a lot of white women have a problem with giving you the ATM and their Social Security.
Don't go there. Like,
you know, go to the store and get what you want, baby. You know, and so it's, I think as a man, a lot of times, you know, we look for that. We look for, like I said, as an African-American male, we get beat up on a constant basis. We get beat up on a constant basis. And sometimes we just need that reassurance. Sometimes we just need that, you know, to be able to come home and to be made like, hey, you are worth something.
Okay. See, now I am on the opposite.
Good. Spectrum too. Good.
And I look at it like this. I think that it's a lack of understanding and it's a lack of empathy. And I think it goes back to, again, because where the systematic racism and the way the system is set up, where the system has taken the black male and the black father figure out of the household. Yeah. So a woman cannot teach a man how to be a man. Only a man can teach a man how to be a man. So you have a lot of men that were raised by women that had no male input to make them understand how to properly deal with the woman. Now, I listened to Malcolm X a lot. Malcolm X said that the black woman is the most unprotected species on the planet. So I just feel a lot of black men don't understand the struggle that the black woman has to deal with every day. And so a black woman having to, you know, and like Corey said, like as a man, when you come home and you're like, I struggled and I had to deal with this during the day, you don't realize that a lot of times, especially if you have a black woman that's working in the professional world, she has to deal with that struggle times 10 because she doesn't even get the same respect that you get. She gets even less respect than you get. And so a lot of men just haven't been taught by another man how to appreciate and understand and nurture that woman where she needs to be and deal with and understand her frustrations. So we take her frustrations as attitude. But the thing is, she goes out and fights against the world just as much as we do, if not more. So you have to be, obviously, we haven't been taught as men how to be as understanding and empathetic to the black woman's struggle because the world is telling us that we are the ones that are facing the struggle when it's black women really are facing the struggle more than we are. So I think it's just a lack of the father being in the house teaching. We've been taught to hate ourselves so much that we're even being taught to hate our queens. So I think that's the reason that we go to somewhere else because, you know, you're like, oh, well, it's easier to deal with someone outside my race. It's easier to deal with a race that's been taught to be submissive instead of nurturing our queens and teach and showing them the love that they deserve because of no matter what the woman is, no matter what her problems are, if you are treating her properly, she will reciprocate that. She will be submissive if you are doing what you need to do and treating her properly. But you have to be taught how to do that, and we are not being taught how to do that because the fathers are not taking the time to teach their sons how to do it.
Listen, agree with you 100%, but along those same lines, you're talking about teaching the male. Who's teaching the female? You have to keep in mind, a lot of women that are being raised right now, they're being raised in single homes. They're being raised in broken homes. So there is no male figure up in there. There's no male figure. Everything, the mindset right now is teach the woman how to, you know, teach the young man how to raise a woman. Teach, you know, make sure the young man is doing this for the women. I get it. But who's teaching the women how to raise that black man?
But I don't think, right? I don't think it's a woman's job. A woman can't raise a man. I don't think it's a woman's job to raise the man. And I also think that it's the man's job that to, if you don't feel, because if you are the really the head of household, taking finances and all of that out, if you are stepping up and taking your proper spot as the head of household, you can even, your mate, you can teach her how you want her to be submissive to you in which ways, but you have to do that with understanding, empathy, and love.
I agree with you, but you have to keep in mind, the women of today, that a lot of them being raised, and they come from broken homes. So who's teaching a woman how to not only respect that black man? And I hear you, what you're saying is the black man needs to be empathetic to the black woman. But the question was, why is it that the black man is going outside of his race? So if me as a black man, I'm being empathetic to that black woman, I'm doing everything to my part, but where does mine come in at, right? Because the focal point is to make sure that black woman is placed upon a pedestal. The focal point is to make sure we're being empathetic to that black woman. I agree with you 100%. But who's teaching that black woman to, hey, you have to reciprocate that in order to get it? And if you're not
reciprocating, then how can you? See, here's the thing. The black man is not being raised.
The black man is coming from a broken home.
So that's my point. So my point is, the reason that it is because the man is not in the house teaching his sons how to be a proper man. So who's teaching
that woman how to reciprocate? Because that is supposed to be taught. A father is supposed to teach his daughter how, that's supposed to be her first love. Her first love is supposed to be her father. If that father's absent and that mother's raising that woman and that man, but the only thing that she's raising that daughter is, or that son, love your wife. Do this for your wife. Who's teaching that woman to love that man?
What do you think? I want to hear from you. What are you thinking about
this? I'm thinking about how topical this question is, given that, I don't think I mentioned this. I have a girlfriend. She's black, if anyone wants to know. And we're recently talking about, 50 Cent's recent interview with Lil Wayne, where, she was talking about how the black woman is no longer exotic to him or whatever. Also, the word exotic is very weird to me, but nonetheless, I feel like the entire podcast could be this question alone.
It definitely could.
There's so much to unpack here, and Corey and Wayne have started that. I will try my best to condense it to my thoughts. My thought is this. I think there are broader systematic things that can make that can cause that preference. It could be a combination of media. It could be a combination of, and by media, I mean that can go deeper down into how Eurocentric features are defined as beautiful and blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's so many different ways you can cut it and slice it, but number one, systematic things push that, and then you also have it's just a lot of this conversation. This conversation was like, I had it for hours with my girlfriend, but I don't think there's necessarily anything immediately wrong with having a preference, but there is something wrong with that preference when you do that. You tap that preference in exchange for putting down a black woman.
Yeah.
I think that's when you have a lot of issues, and for lack of a better word, you have a lot of community behavior. And that comes out of that. But all in all, love is love. If you have a preference, have your preference. Try to recognize what is driving that preference. See if that's actually, because I mean, look, fetishes. People have also fetishes, which are weird, and they have their own. They have this preference. They might have a preference for this Asian person because there's the narrative of the submissive Asian person, or you might have this Latin, an obsession with Latin women because there's the whole thing with the spicy Latino. I don't even know what it is exactly, but there's one for everything. I think it's important to just recognize where that's coming from, but I think most importantly, you cannot put down the Black woman. And I think if you were to, if I'll go back to the root of the question, which is what is driving this, like I said before, a bunch of systematic stuff. I think it's a combination of media. I think it's a combination. It's a combination of honestly, definitely the lack of a two family household or two parent household as well. And definitely
the sign for
portion that Wayne and Corey were talking about. Sorry, that was pretty disjointed, but that was the best way I can try to condense my thoughts there.
Do you believe that men think that sex is a fundamental part of dating or courting, and why?
You don't buy clothes before you try them on. You don't buy a car before you test drive it. You have to listen. It is fundamental, especially if you're getting a serious relationship where you're gonna be like, you are working towards being with this person forever.
Yeah.
I mean, all that other stuff could work out, but that's a part of forever. So you have to make sure that part you're compatible and is right before you make that commitment. That's definitely yes.
Oh my goodness.
I gotta keep tires before I buy the car.
That's our point.
Well, Corey, how are you
doing? I don't even online shop because I refuse to buy anything that I don't try on.
Wow.
So, I gotta, before I make that commitment, I gotta know.
Go
ahead, Corey.
Doesn't want to have sex during the dating period, it's a no. It's a deal breaker.
No, but we're not gonna take that next step until we'll be dating for a long time. We're gonna be having a lot of movies and having a lot of dinners and going to a lot of concerts. We're not taking that next step before I can say no.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because then it's like, well, what are you hiding? Why you, what are you here? Like,
right.
So honestly, I have to go off the cuff on this one, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact, from a maturity standpoint, if you probably would have caught me a couple of years ago, I'd have been right with Dr. Wayne. I honestly would have been right with you. But now my mindset has changed over the years, and I have respect a little bit more for folks that are abstaining. And the reason being, I wish I could have waited until I got married, honestly. And I think what happens, or what ends up happening, is it kind of muddies the waters a little bit if you're dating somebody and you have sex with them, and it's not all that you thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But here's the downside to that. What are you comparing that to?
Okay.
A previous relationship where that individual was possibly, you know, swinging off the chandeliers.
Yeah.
You were never exposed to it. The expectation would never be there. And I honestly think, I love Lolo Jones. If you listen to this podcast, please call me 702-20. But I love her to death. I respect her. And waiting, it kind of takes away that expectation.
Mm.
Of, you know, you have nothing. If you have nothing to compare to, then you would never... I think it would, the marriages and everything, relationships will last a whole lot longer.
Nah, bro.
Let's spin this back to the first question. Now, I got friends that I can date and hang out with and do all of that stuff with. That's my friends. I could do all of that and have a decent conversation, all of that stuff with my homegirls.
Yeah.
This is my mate, somebody I'm going to be with. Nah, we got to get that part right. I got friends that I don't do that with, and I do all that other stuff with.
Nah.
And this is why I'm saying it's probably good to wait. Honestly. Right? Because that can be your soulmate. Y'all can laugh at each other jokes. Y'all can do everything perfect. She's there for you. I mean, she's your, you know, she's the energy green, the whole nine. And you get in the sheets and she's horrible. I think the soulmate thing, that's a whole other nation heard from, but I think a lot of people miss out on amazing relationships because they think that their soulmate has to be a romantic relationship. And I don't believe that your soulmate has to necessarily be a romantic relationship.
So, listen, she could be my soulmate and my friend. That does not say that if you or we are going to be in a relationship, that part has to be right. Because if I've invested all of this time and then I'm not happy in that part, not to say that I'm going to stray, but that could be a reason that the relationship doesn't make it. So that's why if we get it out of the way early, maybe I'm not your cup of tea. You can groom me, I can groom you, and by the time we're ready to take the next step, we have that part together.
Like I said, if you'd have called me a couple of years ago, Wayne, me and you, we would be on the same page. But I have younger children. I have two daughters, a 22 and 23 year old, and I tell them all the time, and I told my son the exact same thing, like, listen, if you never taste the fruit, you don't have anything to compare it to. So your first taste of it should be your first and your last. And the person that you are with, it should be the exact same mindset, so they won't have anything compared to. That's why a lot of people, they tend to stray, because...
You know how many foods I tasted for the first time and didn't like, so I never ate again?
He's serious about this. Oh,
but
Jesus.
If I go to the bakery and it's something I never had before, and everybody, you should try it. Let me sample it first before I buy the whole dozen. I need to sample. Let me make sure I like it.
He is serious.
Okay. What do you think?
Okay, clarifying question first and foremost. When we're saying dating, do we mean literally everything leading up to marriage?
However you interpret it, dating or courting?
Okay, because, I mean, I think that, look, for me, you have your quote-unquote courting or dating phase, and then you get into an actual, you're in a relationship with this person. You say that, I want to be, boyfriend, girlfriend, or just your partner, whatever the case, right? I think that leading to me personally going into a relationship, sex is important, but it's also a factor. It's not an end all be all, but it's a factor. And the question is, you know, when you punch in all the numbers, what does it come out to? Does it come out to something that you like, or is it not enough? That's what it comes down to for me.
All right. So, what is the one thing that men find confusing about women?
One thing.
Yes.
Sound like you, Cord. Sound like you.
Are some of the things that?
Okay. So this is the most confusing thing about women to me. I don't understand why women can't get past their preference. And when I say that is, you know, I know in conversations with my friends, with my guy friends, you know, we may meet somebody, or over the years, we may have met somebody and be like, you know, she's not who I'm used to dating, but, you know, she's good for me. She has this is going for her. So even though she's not what I'm used to, I'll give her a try. Whereas women always claim that they want a good man, or there are no good men out there, but they'll have a man and they'll be like, he's everything I wanted. He's so good to me. He has a good job, blah, blah, blah. But he's not my type. I don't understand why they can't get past their type, and they would rather let a good person go because he's not their type, rather than, you know, get past that and work with that good person.
And
those same women will complain there's no good men out there. But I don't understand. To me, women don't want a good man. Mm-hmm. Women want the men that they like to be a good man, and they want to accept the fact they like sorry dude.
That's deep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Taken. Chico, what do you think?
The
one, Emmanuel.
Man, I think it goes. There's like two. There are two ways about it. Like one thing that, because I have like my female friends, and then I have like, you know, people that I'm dating. I think when it comes to people that I'm dating, what does make sense to me is sometimes the inability to just communicate what exactly is the issue. Because I feel like what can happen sometimes is that instead of when I ask you, hey, like, you seem a little off, what's up? And the response is nothing. Everything's fine. But I know you're lying to me. And I, hits you before it just, it explodes. Yeah. It explodes or comes up randomly, like 2 a.m. when I'm trying to sleep. But, but yeah, no, like, I think that's one thing with my, you know, people that I'm dating, courting, whatever. And then, I think my female friends, it's kind of them going into, it's kind of similar to actually what Wayne was saying, but going into relationships or, you know, trying things out that you are 99% sure isn't good for you, but you're curious. No, I can name a couple of friends of mine where, you know, they talk about, oh, this guy did this to me, why, Z, what should I do? And my response is always, don't go back to that dude. and friend A is like, oh, you're totally right. And then 2 weeks later, comes back to me with more issues regarding homeboy. And I'm like, I don't understand.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
Corey, what do you think?
Man, I mean, do y'all have time? Like, women in general, I don't. So you honestly don't know what you're dealing with, and you know, you always hear, I'm a Gemini, right? Oh, you got two personalities. Well, how many personalities do you have? Because one day of the week you're sweet, you're this, and then like Chick was saying, they shut down on you, they go quiet, and it's like, okay, well, what's the problem? Nothing, you know. And I'm not a mind reader. I don't know, you know. So it's kind of like you got to walk on eggshells. Why do I have to walk on eggshells? If I'm trying to love you, if I'm trying to, you know, be everything you need to be, you should be able to talk, you should be able to communicate. It's so many things. I try to figure out women, and like I said, you know, you get 10 women in a room, and you get 10 different things. Mm-hmm. It none of them is the same. One of them. It's a roll of a dice. When messing with women, it's a roll of a dice because you honestly don't know what you get. She'll smile, you know, you'll pick her. Come on, let's go. And then you get in the car and she'll change. She's 360. Like, that's not what I just purchased. And, you know, it's like, hey, no refunds. You know, no exchange, no refunds. So,
oh, jeez.
Wow. All right. Anything else on that? Okay. All right, so what do men think women want in relationships? What do y'all think women want? What is your perspective of that?
Security. Women don't know, so we don't know. How do you know we don't know?
There you go.
Wow, they want security. Women want definitely want security. They want to feel, and like Matik was saying, most women, if they don't feel like that man is protected, because a lot of women, they'll go to a man for whatever reason because they feel safe, they feel secure with this particular individual. And they want to try to, women are conquerors just like men, right? If I can break him into being that man that I want him to be, then I've won. And women, you know, they like the challenge just as much as men do. So,
Yeah. Anybody else?
I think the super broad answer is, because I think I can give like general things, right? I can say that a woman wants security. I think women want to be engaged/entertained with the relationship that they're in, you know, whether that be like, you know, this is just doing fun things, good conversation, random spontaneous fun stuff. You going on a trip or something, like they want to be engaged and entertained in their relationship, and you know they also just want improvement. I'd say like they want to feel like the relationship that relationship is furthering them somehow. They're picking up something that they didn't know before, or they're becoming just a better person through that. But also, I think women kind of just want what they want in terms of, not all women are like, there's no monolith, you know. A certain woman may want something out of a relationship that woman B actually doesn't really care about it. That's not their thing. So, you know, everyone has their niches, but I think when I think about that, those are like the general things I said before, like the general things that women look for.
Why'd you shake your head, Corey?
Women want security. That's exactly what they want. They want somebody who can be that protector. And you know, the sad part about it, I don't think nobody's gonna mention honesty. You know, if a woman is feeling safe and secure, she'll deal with a man's lies.
Mm.
Oh wow.
Oh.
But women don't want honesty.
Stay down, hold on.
They want honesty until you're honest with them. Oh, and then when you're honest, then you're mean and you're petty or you're rude. But they don't want honesty. They don't want honesty. You know?
All three of you agree with that?
If I feel safe and secure with you, I'll deal with it.
What did you say? I lost what you said, Corey. What did you say with the point that you made? You said a woman will do what if she feels what?
She'll deal with it if she feels safe. She feels, and what I mean by safe, secure, financially, physically, emotionally secure, she'll put up with a man lying to her. She doesn't want to lose that security blanket.
So they'll put up with it
as long as I have that security blanket. It's like, okay, well, you did it because, you know, you love me. Or you're doing this because you love me. But I feel safe. I feel secure with you.
Interesting.
Back to what Wayne, you said the women want honesty, but they can't deal with honesty. Mm-hmm.
They say they want honesty, but they don't want you to be honest.
But are you talking
to them what they want to hear?
Tell me what I want to hear.
Honest.
Tell me honest. Tell me what I want to hear.
But wait, listen. Are you providing that honesty in a loving way when you're providing that honesty?
How do you do it lovingly?
Yeah. Okay. So now. Now I'm not gonna say this is a bad example. I'm not gonna say that person. I'm gonna tell that story now. Honesty is not something they always want.
Okay.
Chica, you agree?
I think that in the long run, honesty is what a woman wants. It's just that, of course, they're gonna have a visceral reaction depending on what the truth is. so I mean, I don't know. I do take a very honest approach to like how I go about dating and whatnot. And trust me, you will get burned. And I also appreciate what I believe Keisha was saying about, you know, saying it in a loving way. I've definitely learned to do that better than I did before. Yeah, I mean, in the long run, I've been able to actually maintain friendships with some people I no longer speak to or report to, because I think in part because of the honesty I was able to provide. But no, definitely you could get your head bitten off.
Okay.
All right. So I think this will be the final question. And the question is, do you think men typically stay with women who have cheated? Do you think men typically stay with women who have cheated?
Wait.
I think it's something about the male ego and male pride that will not allow him to even if he's been caught cheating multiple times before. It's just something about male ego and male pride. But that's my ego, because my thing is my ego. I would much rather my girl cheat on me just for sex than to fall in love with another man.
Oh, wow.
And that's just how the male ego works. But I don't think, but even if she cheated, I'm not even sure I could even go back after that. That's just my ego. Like once you decided that you wanted to go somewhere else, my pride isn't gonna let me. Nah, that's just. And we have a very special relationship for me to overlook that. And that's because to me, honesty and trust is everything. And if you don't have honesty, you don't have trust, then we don't have anything. If I don't feel I can trust you, then I don't need to be with you.
What about Grace?
I'm just having a Grace chaperone. What did you say, Keisha?
Grace. Call Grace. Give it to somebody.
Listen. Is that another woman? That ain't, I'm not God.
No, not another woman.
I'm not Grace. I can't give it. I'm not God. God gives it. I'm not that good. I'm under Grace. I'm beneath Grace. I can't deal with Grace. I do God's work, not God's job. I can't give you Grace.
Okay.
Wow. What's your thoughts, Corey?
That's a no. And the reason why, my thoughts on that, preach, brother. So women, it's not a pride thing. It's not about the pride for me. It's more or less women are emotional creatures.
Okay.
Men, we like what we like. We are physical. And so a man can go and sleep with a woman and have no physical ties, no nothing. Like, hey, is $20 going to be something pretty? I just needed to have a release. A woman is more of an emotional person. Women generally don't sleep with men unless there's some type of physical attraction to that man. There's not too many women that's going to go out and just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to sleep with this man. Unless, one, he's making them laugh. She's emotionally attracted to this man. There's something about this man, she's emotionally or physically attracted to a person to make him cheat. So something there made her cheat. Like I said, a man, you know, I can leave this conversation right now, I'm going to speak with two women, and then come right back to the conversation. No strings attached. But with women, they're more emotional, more physical creatures. It has to be something there. A woman's not just going to step out unless she's either emotionally or physically attracted to this man.
But what if she told you it was a physical thing? You know, you weren't doing it right, and she wanted to get it somewhere else. Would that make you feel better?
First off, I'm a certified backbreaker.
Oh, Lord.
I don't want to talk on my sexual prowess. That's something totally different. But I think if you wasn't getting it from the initial onset, a woman's not going to stick around. She's not going to stick around for that long. And if it got to the point where as we're in a relationship and we've been together for a while, and it's not working for her and she steps out, it's because someone else has caught her eye. It has nothing to do with, oh, well, let me try, you know, so-and-so because I think he can do it better.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's this man has either emotionally or physically caught her eye. Like I said, women are emotional creatures. Men, we're physical. We like the big butt. We like the, ooh. She don't even have all her teeth in her mouth, but you know what?
Corey.
And we go after it. Women, they're more emotional. It's emotionally tied.
Gotcha.
To
okay.
Chica?
Corey is absolutely the problem child. He is living by his name. Nah, that was hilarious.
Spot on. Go ahead and see.
Look. So, I mean, look. Answer the question, point blank, period. For me, absolutely not, never. It's the relationship is going to be over if my significant other cheats on me. Now, with that said, I know of, and if we're going to keep it to black men, I know black men that have been cheated on by their significant other, and they've gone back to that person. I can't relate or imagine or understand the thought process, but also, I don't know, I've never been cheated on before, so I also don't know how I necessarily react, but everything in my soul and being tells me that the relationship is over as soon as I find out. I don't know.
Do you guys...
But because when you said, can you forgive, now forgiving her and continuing a relationship are two totally separate issues. Because I can forgive you. Listen, we just ain't together no more. But then again, it also depends on how much I like you. Because I remember one relationship I was in, my first real serious relationship. I was with this girl for 5 years, and I should have been with her for 4.5 of those years. But I used to literally tell her, here's my debit card, go out and take somebody that likes you out. And I was so serious. As long as she kept coming and paying half the bills, that's all I care. I didn't like her. But, you know, I was dumb then, so it didn't even matter. I would be like, fine. If I would have came home and found her in bed with somebody else, I'd have been like, your problem now. But in a better place. I'm grown man. I'm handling things on my own. It's like I can forgive you. We can be cool. We can still talk. The relationship is dead. So I can forgive you, but then I can't continue to be in a relationship with you because if I can't trust you, I can't be.
Gotcha.
And I need to be able to trust you freely. I can't be. I work two jobs. I work overnight. I can't be one. I've worked with guys that are leaving work at night and driving by their house to make sure that their wife doesn't have somebody else in the house and checking their wife's emails and phone. I'm not a spec gadget. I don't have time for all of that. My time is spent sleeping and making money. I don't got time to check around anybody. I don't have kids, and I can't be treating my girls as kids. So if I can't trust you, the relationship's over. We can be friends. We can be cool. You can call me if you need me, but the relationship is dead. If I can't trust you, I don't need you.
Okay.
That requires too much energy. Can I ask a bonus question?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
What do you guys feel about open relationships?
Go ahead, man.
You're talking to the guys.
To the guys.
I mean, I'm talking to the guys, but please, you guys have been asking the questions the entire time. If you guys want to, chime in, you're more than welcome to.
Great, Dr. Wait,
how do you feel about open relationships?
You saw his face.
Mm-mm. Nah, I'm not with
that. What's the point of us? One woman is enough of a headache. And I gotta deal with more than one? Listen, we gonna be, but also with Bianca, it's like to me, that bond that is something that is special that's just between you two. I have that bond that's just you two versus the world, that no matter what, it's just us. We have something that nobody else in this world shares, and nobody else in this world can break. Nobody else in this world can come in between. That's something that is sacred to me, and I can't have an open relationship because I need that unbreakable bond with somebody. If I don't have that, then I'm good. If I'm not an open relationship, it's not even be in a relationship. I can have an open relationship and be out here single, just open with anybody I want to.
Just open
relationship, but I need to be in. It's just us.
Right. Corey, what do you think? Kurt, what do you think, Corey?
No, spot on. You stole my answer. What's the point of us being in a relationship? If we're sleeping with everybody else, then what are we doing? If I'm all sleeping with everybody and you all sleeping with everybody, then why me and you in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Let's split these bills halfway down the middle and we call it like that.
Yep.
Yep.
Is that how you feel, Chica? Since you asked the question, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, so
were you asked? So, is your girl going to be in an open relationship?
Corey. Go ahead, Chica.
Okay. It just came out of the blue. I thought maybe you was asked that before the show went.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me see what these guys think. I mean, look, I have friends that are in open relationships, and I feel like also with the whole Jada thing, Jada and Will Smith thing.
And Will Smith.
And Will Smith.
Is he sick right now? Will is sick right now.
I mean, I don't know, man. Like, see, that's the thing that's funny to me, because when you were talking about the, the women, when they want to have sex, it's an emotional thing. And with guys, it's all physical. I thought immediately about August Alsina. That man clearly caught feelings for Jada.
Yes. Yes.
And she had feelings.
She had feelings for him too.
That's one thing that she doesn't want to admit.
No, she came out and said it on her Red Table Talk. She said it. It was 4 years ago. She said.
And that's what I'm saying. Women are emotional beings. It has to be something there. Like men, we get itch. We just go out, we scratch, and we come back. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But women, it has to be something there to tie that man to her, to make her look at him differently. Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, he does have all his teeth. Something has to attract that woman to make that woman want to sleep with that man.
True.
Emotional.
True.
Got you. Okay.
Okay.
But
this has been very interesting.
Yes, it has.
We're here for y'all.
Thank you.
Anything else? Anybody else want to add before we close out?
I think August Alsina was Will Smith's boyfriend too.
Oh,
but
God.
That's another podcast.
No.
That's another podcast.
No. Jesus. Okay. All right.
Well, thank you guys so much. I think this was fun. I think this was very exciting. We should do it again soon. And thank you guys.
to hit us up on all our different platforms at I Got You Podcast, and make sure you follow, subscribe, and thank you guys for joining us.